You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Are we a team here or not, Rich?
There is an I in Rich and Eisen, but there is not one in show.
Wow.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So you were from Dallas, Texas. You were more of a football guy than a basketball guy, Marcus Smart. Can you play quarterback?
The Rich Eisen Show.
I can. I can play quarterback.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis, WGN sports anchor Jared Payton. Coming up, Super Bowl champion Mitchell Schwartz, Vikings running back Dalvin Cook. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air right here now on the Roku channel. It's our first week on our new platform with our new partners. We love them, and we love that the fact that you can see us on all Roku devices, and you can see us on Samsung Smart TVs. You can see us on Fire TVs. You could see us on the Roku app that houses the Roku channel, and you could see us on desktop and on the internet. On the RokuChannel.com, and we're thrilled that you can see us for free. We love that, and we are excited about the kickoff to week number two tonight between the Chiefs and the Chargers on Prime Video. It's a streaming world, don't you know? And we're just all living in it. Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo in their spots for hour number three. Good to see you guys. TJ Jefferson looking as great as always.
What
good
up
to see you, TJ Jefferson, kicking off hour number three of this show. We've already had a chat with Jared Payton, the son of Walter Payton, the subject of this week's episode of NFL Icons that's on Epix that I'm narrating on Saturday night at 10 Eastern time. Willie McGinnis, my colleague from the NFL Network, joined us in hour number one. If you missed it, there'll be portions of those interviews on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Hit us with a subscribe, please. Or just stay tuned right here on the Roku channel 210 as soon as we're done of this third hour. We re-air right away, so hours one and two right after that, and then hour three, and so on and so forth. We love that. I turn to my right and welcome in now, finally, instead of talking to you on camera and you on the Odyssey or the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, talk directly to you, sir. We have a Super Bowl champion, a nine-year veteran of the National Football League, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, the 2012 draftee out of Cal Berkeley by the Browns, but a man who protected Patrick Mahomes so expertly for all those years for the Chiefs. Mitchell Schwartz, good to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, you're framed in a way to make sure that you're centered up, but your hands are in your lap. There we go. Now that we see the two shot, you want to hold that baby up on your right hand index finger?
Yeah.
That is a championship ring. Right there.
Look at that thing.
I figure for all the Chargers fans I'm going to run into while I'm in L.A.
I like that. I like
what
that.
The deal was.
Smack talk right out of the gate.
No, is that Kyle or Richard Petty right there?
Style of Petty? That's Richard.
That's
the
tier
king.
One. That's tier one.
Well, no, that's Tom. That's Tom.
No, Richard the King Petty was tier one.
May I see that? Would you mind?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, remove it off your index finger.
You're going to be able to hold that up, Rich?
Jeez. You can do curls with that.
That's why arm length matters.
It's on your index finger. is that where it fits? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was originally sized for the ring finger. It's slightly big for that. I also have weird webbing, so it fits better on that one.
Weird webbing. So what do I have that it's still on my thumb? I could keep twirling it around. This is beautiful. Hold on a minute. I should have my sunglasses, but I don't have them here. That's beautiful.
I think we did a pretty good job with it. I was definitely not part of that process, and I tried not to listen into little tidbits of what guys were hearing about it. The only thing I knew is that it was going to be two-tone in color.
Yes.
And that scared me a little bit because
why?
Two-tone can go awry depending on the piece of jewelry. But
look at you. Oh, second, my God. I had no idea you were such a jeweler.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we opened up those boxes, though. It was pretty special. And obviously, they did as good of a job as I could have ever hoped.
Chiefs Kingdom. There they are, world champions. It says Schwartz on the side. It's from 69 to 19. There you go. Here's your number 71. Be great. It says right there. Great. And then
slogan for the year.
Oh, inside, it's the results that led all the way up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
well.
And it's got the deficits that we came back from in each of those three games because that was the big storyline.
Oh, that's the number. That's the number in the parentheses underneath each one.
That was the year you were down big to Houston.
24
right?
is the number there.
Yeah. 24, the like 10 and 11, maybe something like that.
And then Bill O'Brien went for the fake, right? And he did what
did he
do?
Yeah, Sorensen goal or something.
Huh? It was the punt. Dan Sorensen had the tackle. And then just kind of got that ball rolling.
Yeah, because here you go. You may take it back. So.
Oh, sure.
You have it. It's your ring. Use it how you see fit.
Make a doorstop.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I just
or if you want to pass it around the room.
I mean, when that offense got rolling, it was just impossible to stop. Tyreek Hill said that Patrick Mahomes was trash in his first practice. How would you?
It needed to be said.
Was he really that bad in his first practice with the Chiefs? Was he really that bad?
I don't think he would have been that bad, but there is an element of coming from the offense he came from in college and learning a Coach Reed offense with the verbiage, with the formations, with the shifts, and on the motions and all that stuff. And it did take him a while to get acclimated to that. I remember. You know, I got to play with him that Week 17 game, his first year, his only
in Denver.
In Denver,
because you'd already made the playoffs, and Alex Smith, you knew you make sure he's going to be healthy for a playoff run. So Mahomes wet his beak a little bit in a little AFC West action. In
Correct,
Denver.
Okay. And I remember being very impressed because you watch him in preseason. That was really the last time you see him in kind of that game action, and his ability to make all the calls, kind of run the huddle efficiently. The thing I always kind of pull back to is. We went to Denver in Week 17. Now, they were out of the playoffs, too. But still, it's a pretty big divisional rivalry. The fans are going crazy. It's cold. We had no procedural penalties. And think about even this Monday night, Russell Wilson going back into Seattle. Think of how late they were snapping the ball, the timeouts they had to run, delay of games, things of that nature. We had none of those in his first start. And so by the time he was ready to go, he was ready to go. It was just everything was smooth. It ran efficiently. I don't remember that first practice. I was probably too busy doing my own thing off to the side. And, you know, we don't have to catch the ball from the guy. You don't tend to remember too much about it. But early on, it was those splash plays. And we all obviously got really excited about it. And me being a little bit of a pessimist, it was more, all right, I mean, this is cool, but there's no repercussions. It doesn't matter if you throw a pick. It doesn't matter if you do these crazy things. Let's see it in the game. And then he got to the preseason, and he was doing it in the game. And then, obviously, we know the rest of the history.
Yeah, because, you know, to go from Smith to Mahomes, I remember we talked to Kelsey, right? Did we talk to Travis Kelsey at the Super Bowl in Minnesota when Alex Smith got traded? And I remember him sitting there going, you know, Alex is my guy. Obviously, we got a new guy, but Alex is my guy. And was there a moment about turning things over to the young guy where there was a question of what was going on?
Because it happened pretty peacefully. It's not like this kind of 49ers transition, you know. Pat got drafted. It was very clear Alex was a starter. Pat was the backup. We ran the whole year that way. I mean, we had a really good season. I think Alex led the NFL in deep passing that year. I think his motto was just like, screw it, let's go for it. And he started throwing the ball deep, and he was the number one downfield passer. Obviously can't do all the stuff Pat does, and then he gets traded and Pat's just the starter. So there was a pretty peaceful transition of power, and Pat is very much natural leader, kind of took that role on. It wasn't like, oh, I don't really know what my role is. Should I call the team up? Should I not say anything? Like, it just happened very efficiently. And I don't know if that's having the sports background with his dad, you know, being around locker rooms and athletes and just understanding the flow of it, but a natural leader, and he just took the reins and ran with it.
Mitchell Schwartz here on the Rich Eisen Show wearing his Super Bowl ring from the 2019 season right here on the night where week two kicks off between Mahomes and the Chiefs and also Herbert and the Chargers. The concepts that you're seeing offensively through week one, What did you see in week one that you're like, okay, everybody who was like saying Tyreek's gone and we're all screwed here, that you're like, okay, we're fine. What did you see outside of the obvious statistic result?
Yeah, it's more just validation for the idea that it's Coach Reed and it's Patrick Mahomes and they're still going to drive the ball down the field. They signed Valdez Scantling, who's a speed guy. They still have Mecole Hardman. So they've got elite top-end speed, maybe not the single fastest guy in the NFL, but two of maybe the top three, four, or five receivers in terms of speed. So they're still going to stretch the field vertically. And I think it was a little bit foolish for people to just assume like, oh, they can't throw deep anymore, so they're going to go back to, you know, the year that no wide receivers caught a touchdown when Alex was the quarterback and when, you know, the receiver talent wasn't what it was. It's like that offense isn't coming back. The offense is still built for speed, for downfield threats. You know, the RPO game kind of opens the field up horizontally in the run game, right, and the speed of the receiving group opens it up vertically in the passing game. And I don't think he's ever going to go back on, you know, having guys that are able to create in both of those ways.
So give me a moment where you're like, okay, Reed and Bieniemy and the rest of this offensive staff just thinks differently. So you got a moment, whether it was an install, a meeting, a film session, anything like that, Mitchell Schwartz?
There's plenty of them. To me, the coolest thing from my perspective, because as an offensive lineman, you don't always get to be in the meetings where they're talking to the quarterback, so they're explaining, this is why we're doing it, or we see this one specific tell from the safety, so we're going to design the play this way. Mm-hmm. Mondays are our off days. Tuesdays, we were on. We watched the film from the previous week, and then there's about a 10-minute period where they get us together, kind of give us some concepts for the upcoming week that they're still mulling over, they're thinking about. And Coach Reed would just pull guys, hey, you line up here, you line up there. And he would just kind of, you could see the gears working and like, I want you to go 7 steps, stop there. And then I want you to go over here. And he's kind of walking through the play as it's happening. And it's really the only time from my perspective, I can see kind of that genius at work and seeing him. He's written it out. He understands the spacing, but like getting on the field and seeing where the guys are and seeing how it really works. That was one of the cooler things. And in all those meetings, I mean, Coach Bieniemy, he watches every single game a few times. I was going to say a million times. That's mm-hmm. obviously not feasible. But you can go up to him, and especially from the offensive line perspective, like, hey, I'm seeing this blitz. Like, what do you think we should do? And he knows exactly the blitz, exactly the game situation. He's got an answer for it. So they're just extremely well prepared. And things can change week to week because, you know, if you're kind of static in what you do, it might not work for that specific team, that specific blitz pattern. You know, tonight Brandon Staley's going to run some crazy stuff that they might not have seen before that's pretty intricate.
Right.
But the Chiefs are going to be as prepared as possible against that.
So he's drawn the play up in his mind and then on a piece of paper, and then he walks out and he walks everyone through it. 7 step stop here, you go here, you go there. And so then he validates what he's done, or
yeah, because
this is where he's just saying this play's going to work, I got it. And you now need to get it. Is that, again, I'm just wondering how
that
works.
Yeah, so I think it's more, there are coordinators who create and there are coordinators who have been part of a system and kind of understand, oh, it's cover three, so I know this play is supposed to work. And it's cover four, so this is the play we're supposed to run.
Right.
But I think Coach understands defenses so well that he can manipulate them to what he wants and to the way they're playing it. So he's creating those plays for that week. It's not just, oh, well, I learned this from Mike Holmgren, who learned it from Bill Walsh, and it worked in the 80s, so it should work now. It's more, oh, this is the style of defense they're running. If I run this guy here and I drag that guy, it might open up this void for me, but I have to make sure that the depths are correct. I have to make sure that the spacing is okay and what the quarterback's seeing kind of aligns together. So that is the on-the-field validation of the spacing, I think, for him. Just one of those parts in the process. And, of course, it's you know, two or three plays. It's not a ton of them, but it is kind of the designer plays of the week.
Mitchell Schwartz here on the Rich Eisen Show. I know you put your paparazzi hat on. You work for the 33rd team, right? You do stuff for them. You do stuff locally. Here in Los Angeles, the Rams offensive line had a rough opener. The Bengals, newly revamped offensive line, a rough opener. What can you tell those fan bases about how offensive lines can improve throughout the year? Certainly when preseason action usually doesn't occur anymore and you just get thrown out there. What do you see from either the or both of those situations, and what can you tell folks about this?
There's
Mitchell?
A schematic help that the coaches could now start integrating. All right, maybe my guys need more help than I expected. I can formation things. I can you know, squeeze the tight ends in, make the defensive ends feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I can run some more play actions, some more dependable protections. But the other thing is, if you go back and look last year, week one, Bills against Steelers, the Steelers got after the Bills offensive line. It was really rough, and Josh Allen had a really bad game. And we were all wondering, like, oh, was that contract worth it? Is he not the same guy? And obviously the Bills had a pretty awesome year last year. So week one can show you some things, but it doesn't necessarily mean the sky is falling. There's still a ton of room for improvement, and it's just the first of the stepping stones. It's probably a little bit more optimistic for Bengals fans, knowing that theoretically you upgraded in personnel and the Rams theoretically downgraded in personnel. And so the Bengals can say, like, okay, these guys just need time to gel. Or for the Rams, it's like, oh, well, it looks like we're missing Whitworth. It looks like we're missing a couple other guys on the inside. But again, if that means that McVay can't run all the dropback passes he wants and he can't do all the empty protection, maybe he just goes back to running the ball on the play action that's worked every other year.
Right.
So he's got something to fall back on where Rams fans should feel pretty good.
What is gelling? Walk me through. What does gelling look like for an offensive line, Mitchell Schwartz? What does that look like?
So it's seeing the game the same way. And so as, you know, a right tackle in this case, because it's easier for me to put in those terms.
Yes,
I'm working
that's
with
your terms.
I'm working with the right guard the most often. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a play that the right guard's supposed to be working with the center and I'm supposed to be blocking the defensive end on my own, all of a sudden a linebacker or safety walks down. Maybe it's right at the snap and maybe we're in Pittsburgh or maybe we're in, obviously not in LA, they had to use silent count, but maybe we're somewhere we can't communicate it. You don't have enough time. You both want to be seeing that at the same time and understanding, okay, we're going to react the same way. The safety is going to blitz off the edge. The defensive end is going to go inside. So as a right tackle, if I'm assuming, hey, my guard sees it the same way, I can just go block the safety. He'll have the defensive end.
Yes.
But the guard's not seeing it that way, and he hangs on his block with the center.
And that's where there's trouble.
Now the defensive end splits us, and now we look really awful because it looks like we don't know what we're doing. And that's just not seeing the game the same way. That's not reacting the same way.
So how does one see the game the same way? How do you do that? I mean, you're all individuals, you know. I guess we're getting to the nitty-gritty of line play here, but that is what we're talking about for so many teams. The Cowboys as well, you know, Tyron Smith out, Tyler Smith in. And then in the middle of the game, you know, one of their linemen goes out, just like Brian Allen with the Rams. And how do you get this handled as the season begins to potentially slip away, you know?
It's practice time, and that's where a lot of the former players are saying offensive line play is slipping because of reduced practice time, because you don't have those opportunities to see more blitzes in practice, more interesting scenarios in practice. And so now that the season has started, I mean, everyone is basically practicing the same amount. It's really critical that you're talking to each other, and even if it's a play that you mess up on scout team and the coaches are really frustrated with you, but maybe in the huddle, like, hey, I thought you were supposed to be here, and now 3 plays later, you're still in the same huddle, and it happens again, and you fix it immediately. You don't need to go to the sidelines. You don't need to walk through it. You don't need to rep it physically, but that constant communication where you guys are trying to talk it through. And there's also an element of maybe watching film together. Hey, what are you looking at on this one? What am I looking at? Because as we've gotten into the iPads and the Surface tablets and being able to watch film wherever we want, whenever we want.
Yeah.
Offensive lines, we used to stay at the facility and watch film together after practice on Wednesday, Thursday, whenever else. Well, now guys go home and they watch on their own time. And so you're not seeing things as collaboratively as you used to. And that's where, you know, the older guy in the group needs to really take the onus upon himself and say, hey, you know, we're going to stay after for 30 minutes. We're going to watch blitz together. Let's just talk things through. Let's make sure we're all on the same page. So it's doing things together. It's talking it through. And, you know, hopefully you've got a good offensive line coach who can facilitate.
A few more minutes left here with Mitchell Schwartz, champion offensive lineman, recent retiree from the Kansas City Chiefs here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have a couple favors to ask of you. First one is I chose, because I liked Davante Adams' addition and Chandler Jones' addition, and I just thought, you know, 6 years in a row for the Chiefs, you know, I'm gonna zig while everyone's zagging or what have you. I chose the Raiders to win the division, and Eric Stonestreet is livid with me. You know, he'll still send me some heart emojis and stuff like that. But I think deep down he is hurt and upset with me. Can you, you know, let him know that everything's fine, or just either just be a go between? Because I'm assuming you're still in constant contact with him.
Yeah, I can be your intermediary. Maybe send some brisket or, you know, send some food. Yeah.
Okay. Well, food is the way to our hearts. Now. He doesn't need me to do that. I mean, but that would be helpful.
I think so.
Is he still texting you in the middle of the night about brisket and stuff like that? Is he still doing
that? Yeah, we still do that. And about Chiefs, obviously.
Did you bring any brisket, Mitch, by chance?
I didn't bring any brisket.
He's going to a wedding. He's in town for a wedding.
Assuming it traveled well, it probably wouldn't have made it to the studio. I probably would have gotten hungry and eaten it anyway.
Okay. Well, you look in shape. You look like you're not just, you know, hitting the buffet or anything like that.
Round is a shape.
I like that. Round is a shape. You got something, TJ?
Well, I was just wondering, Mitch, did you happen to, I know you're busy right now, but did you happen to get any phone calls maybe like 2 or 3 weeks from a Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth area code, just kind of inquiring about what you're up to now? Just wondering if that might have happened.
No, nothing nothing from that area code. It's been a while since I've gotten those calls. That was more last year when I was coming back from the injury.
Not now.
Dallas, actually, I think the right tackle will be okay. Terrence Steele, he's penciled in there. I think that's something not to worry about. Left tackle, that's more the concern. That's where, you know, you signed Jason Peters, and I think you give him a couple weeks to get into game shape, and he showed some good things last year. So I think there's optimism for that offensive line as well.
And lastly, you know, when you said you were talking about when Mahomes first got there, and even though you saw what he was doing and you believed that this could work, you were pessimistic. And I thought to myself, why is he so pessimistic? I'm like, okay, yeah, I know, because I'm pessimistic too. We're Jewish. So, you know, we're both Hebrews, and I think that's – did I peg it right, that your pessimism comes from your Judaism?
Pessimism and guilt.
Okay. You know, your brother Jeff has been here. I think we've got a photograph. Do we have it? Okay, there you are. Is that the bar mitzvah? Is that your bar mitzvah, or is that Jeff's bar mitzvah right there?
I'm guessing that's mine, because I'm the one with the kippah on, so that's mine.
Okay. Well, there he is. You're a man in the eyes of the Lord right there back in the day. Mazel tov to the whole Schwartz family, right? My mother, who by the way turns 85 today, she'll be upset.
Happy birthday.
It's Evelyn Eisen's birthday today. She might be upset that I've actually given her age away, but you know, she was saying to me, because her first football game she went to was at the Big House at Michigan when she was visiting me when I was in school there, and there was a roughing the kicker penalty, and I had explained to her what that was. She goes, "So you couldn't touch the kicker?" And I'm like, "No, you can't touch the kicker." And she goes, "Well, I would have let you kick."
That's why my dad didn't play football. His mom wouldn't let him.
So what about, you know, that was never a problem?
I think
we were
just so genetically mutated that they thought, okay, that we could go out there and make it happen.
Okay.
How big is your dad, Mitch?
Okay.
My dad's 6'1", maybe 220, but he's, I mean, the thick guy.
Okay.
Keeps himself in much better shape than I do.
Okay.
So I think we get our thick ankles and wrists from him.
Okay. Very good. And so in that vein, your brother has signed this book that I have. And now you'll be the first set of brothers to sign this book that I have, Great Jews in Sports.
There it is.
It's very thick, in case anybody wants to say the joke about being a pamphlet. It's very thick. It's old.
You added the extra 300 pages?
No. The introduction's by Red Auerbach, who, by the way, great Jew in sports. It's been autographed. Here it is. Your brother was the first. He added the Star of David. You can do whatever you wish. Jeff Schwartz, Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros, by the way, fantastic Jew in sports.
Yep.
Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Signed this just a few days ago. Would you mind going ahead?
I would love to.
This is our second Super Bowl champion. We've had a World Series champion. This is great.
Big moment.
Here you go.
All righty.
Here we go. Here's the pen. You may sign it.
Take the pen.
He's our fourth Jew. He needs six more to have a minion.
Well, you're five.
Don't worry.
What?
I haven't signed it.
That's the best line in Independence Day.
You need 10 members of the tribe to officially start any religious proceeding. It's called a minion.
Got it.
So that's for all of you non-Jews out there.
Minion in my house has a different meaning.
Oh, yeah, obviously, they're little yellow creatures.
Little yellow things.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Gru, sir. It's nothing to do.
They're very evil.
Thank you very much. Yeah. This has now got four Jews signing it. This is fantastic. There it is. You got four. Yeah.
Obviously, you haven't had too many sports owners in the studio.
I haven't had them yet.
Owners.
Not yet. Not yet, but there's more. It's more blank pages. By the way, it is filled with names and photographs. This is a real book, okay?
When was it?
Published?
I feel like it's in the 80s.
No.
Was it written by Jewish parents?
Well, it's written. It's interesting you say that. The dedication to the children, Miriam, Shimi, Adam, and Rachel. So I'll say yes.
Okay. So this is.
Copyright 1983.
83? Oh my God.
And it says underneath here. It'll be a Shonda if you steal from this, is what it says.
So this was the parents making their kids Wikipedia pages before Wikipedia.
Yeah, man. This is, you know, when there were world books. You had to look at world books to start researching stuff, you know?
Phenomenal.
Mitchell, thanks for coming in here. Greatly appreciate it. What happens tonight, do you think? What happens tonight?
Some good football will happen tonight.
Oh, stop it. What do you think happens? You're not going to tell me your brother. You don't have to talk about it like your brother. Like there will be, you know, a certain number of points that beats another team by a certain number of points that some things might go over or maybe be under.
Not quite like that.
Okay.
I think the Chiefs will get out to a bit of a lead. I think Herbert will have to bring them back. From the Chiefs' perspective, you don't want to get down on these guys because of the pass rush.
Yes.
Because Bosa and Mac are just so devastating that the second you get down and they get to like truly pin their ears back, that's when you're worrying about things. But I think, you know, the coach read the legendary first 15, kind of the preparation, you know, he hasn't been preparing for just 2 or 3 days for this game. They spent an offseason preparing for these. So I think the Chiefs will get up a little bit. Herbert will rally them back and the Chiefs hold on at the end.
There you go. That's Mitchell Schwartz's opinion of what happens tonight. What a great game tonight. We're so excited. Thanks for coming in here. Anytime you're in town, you got a spot here, man. Good to see you. Super Bowl champion Mitchell Schwartz, L'chaim to the great couple that you're seeing a wedding for. May they break the glass safely. Speaking of big moments, Monday Night Football, Dalvin Cook will be joining us from the Vikings next. I don't believe he is Jewish.
You never know, Rich.
Never.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. Tonight's game in Kansas City is on Westwood One. Monday night's game between the Vikings and the Eagles on Westwood One. I will be hosting the pregame and halftime of that Monday night finale to the week two that kicks off tonight. And joining us now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, getting set to play in that game for the 1-0 Minnesota Vikings, is friend of the program back here once again, Dalvin Cook. How you doing, Dalvin?
I'm doing good, Rich. Doing good.
You are? You sound tired. You said you just come off the practice field? You sound a little wiped out.
We just got done. We walked through this morning.
You walked through? What's a walkthrough like? Yeah. What's a walkthrough like?
Truly a walkthrough pace. Got to be locked in, man. Those little details and stuff at you, but that's pretty much it.
So if anybody, like, goes faster than a walk, do people go, whoa, what are you doing?
Tempo violation.
A tempo violation. That's right.
Write that down.
Tempo violation. Oh, and is there a fine associated with a tempo violation?
It depends how many times you're offender of it. Oh.
Okay. So one is just like, okay, just like, hey, everybody, hold, stop. We're walking through. Two or three, then it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.
Yeah, it's going to cost you, man.
Okay. Okay. How was week one's game for you, Dalvin Cook? Walk me through what that felt like for you with a new coach, new situation, beating the Packers. What was that like, Dalvin Cook, for you guys?
It felt good, man. Everything about it felt right. You know, just when we got to the stadium, you felt the energy. You felt guys locked in the night before. So just leading up until the moment until we kicked off, everything just felt like how we talked about it. Mikhail came into this thing, and he set some boundaries, and he told us, you know, how he wanted this thing to look leading up until snap one, and it looked just like how he, you know, predicted it to look. And, you know, we went out there and executed at a high level. We left a lot on the field. Just watching the film and just knowing as a player in this league for a little while, you know, I could have played better. And I know a lot of guys feel the same way, but, you know, most importantly, we got the win in a division game, and, you know, we could build from a win, which is most important.
Walk me through what that looks like, where Kevin O'Connell, your new HC, who's the old OC from the Rams, tells you this is the way it's going to look, and it looks like that. You got an example specifically?
Yeah, just basically stand in attack mode, man. That's the thing around. We want to dictate how the game goes. You know, as far as offense, defense, special teams, just we want to dictate, you know, how the Minnesota Vikings play. Attack team, be situational smart, and just play good football, man. Clean football and let the rest take care of itself. KO's been doing a great job of putting us in predicament and just letting us play, turning it loose, and just having fun. And, no, you've seen the outcome.
What's it like for you and the rest of your offensive mates to have a head coach with an offensive mindset and background?
It's fun, man. Just being around KO, him being around us so much because he's an offensive coach, picking his brain, seeing how he thinks, you know, everything that comes behind of what he do, you know, his philosophies of how he's trying to get things done. It's just fun being around a coach like KO. And you know, the energy he brings in every day is unmatched. You know, it's a privilege for me just to be around these guys and, you know, them to make work so special for us.
Is Kirk Cousins coming across any differently? And I don't mean personality-wise. I just mean, you know, a coach was specifically brought in to be the head coach with an offense to support him and make him be as comfortable as possible. I'm not saying that wasn't always done before, but I'm talking a head coach, period, coming from a system, the Shanahan-McVay system that, you know, for whom in many different ways, Kirk Cousins is the prototypical quarterback. Anything different you sense there, Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, just a sense of him being comfortable. Him and KO speaking the same language, you know, dating back to them in Washington. Just them being on the same page is always important. You know, KO and Wes pretty much calls the plays and dial things up. So them speaking that same language and them being on the same page, you kind of see like that marriage of them, you know, on and off the field, just the way they communicate with each other. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that you could take away from KO coming in and being the head coach.
And before we get to you, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson appears poised to have a very, very special season, and I might be shortchanging the number of verys to place in front of special season. And it appears he also has a chip on his shoulder, whether it's where he's ranked by his peers in the NFL 100 list or anything else. Can you tell me what his mindset is like and your conversations with him are like about this very subject matter, Dalvin?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with JJ. I think everything that came out this offseason, whether it was a list, whether it was Reagan or Madden, whatever it was, I think he got shortchanged on everything, you know, from the season he just had, from two seasons he had from being here. I think he got shortchanged. But, you know, his mindset and the way he's working, you know, you kind of see, you know, that chip on his shoulder every day, you know, the way he carries himself. You know, him taking that next step again, being one of our leaders on his team, you know, him evolving into that. So it's just, you see the yearly growth in JJ, and it shows on the field. You know, KO demands a lot of our receivers, and, you know, Justin is one of those elite players that we demand a lot of, and you see he answered the bell week one. So
So were you the guy he would be reaching out to, texting, calling, or whatever when the lists came out, Madden ratings come out? Were you a sounding board for him, Dalvin?
We was a sounding board for each other. We both feel the same way.
Yeah.
We both feel like when some of the lists come out for position rankings or whatever it is, no, it's always shortchanged on his side. But you know, we kind of carry that in our back pocket and just dispose of it come game day. We just get rid of it on game day. Just turn it loose and, you know, just have fun, man. That's what I always tell you. Just have fun, man. I don't let the list or anything, you know, deteriorate your fun. You know, coming out here and just enjoying football that we get to play every day.
Well, then I guess that is a perfect segue to you then, Dalvin Cook. Three straight 1,100-yard rushing seasons for you. How does the Kevin O'Connell offense cater to you and suit you, Dalvin?
Different ways, man. You seen that on Sunday, all-purpose 100-yard game. Just give me the ball. Just give me the ball. You know, everybody know what I could do in the run game. Keep the team honest, break runs, do all that. You know, just give me the ball as much as they can, different ways. It's fun being around his team, being around his offense. I get to be a kid. Just go out there and just turn it loose, man. I always tell the receivers, I'm the ground control, y'all the air control, and I'm going to control the ground and make sure y'all, you know, do what y'all do.
Do you feel like you weren't getting the ball in previous years then as much, Dalvin?
No, I feel like I always got the ball. I feel like, you know, that was pretty much the problem. I think people kind of knew when I was getting the ball. They kind of knew when I was coming downhill. They kind of knew when I was getting the ball a lot of the time. But now it's kind of like, you know, it's a variety of things. You know, where is he going to be? You know, where is he? Like, it's just, you know, just different things that KO comes up with. Week in, week out, just every day, just to get people the ball, and it's fun. Just trying to be one of those players to get the ball.
And on the defensive side, before we just turn to Monday night and send you on to the rest of your day, Dalvin Cook, Big Z, I enjoyed when he came on my show a few months ago, that moment with him and Rodgers, he kind of shoved, they got shoved and all that business. What has he brought energy-wise to this team, this defense for you guys?
He brought that culture we've been hunting. He brought that culture that KO tried to bring in with him, that KO brought in with him. He brought the culture, just bringing that energy to the whole defense. He was cracking us up in week one, I'm going to get that sack. Just feeling his presence every play. You know, he's so close to getting Rodgers a lot of times. Or him taking a double team and freeing Daniel up and all those other guys, Big Dalvin Thomas, and all those other guys just turning him up. They could just go eat one-on-one blocks. It's just been fun. It was fun watching those guys on the sideline, man. Z doing his celebration, Daniel. So, you know, Z brings that energy, and he brings a lot of out of the players that they don't know that they got inside of them. Like Daniel, you know, that excitement. But Daniel is just used to going to get his sack, do his dance, come back. But Z kind of brings the extra stuff out of him.
Well, how does it feel to wear number 4 again for you, Dalvin? You like it?
I feel light, man. I feel great. I feel how I'm supposed to feel. I feel like Dalvin, man. I feel like me. It's still perfect, man. Everything about it, man, just going out there and just having fun, man. I feel like I feel like a kid again, man. I'm just having fun, enjoying it, and I'm just trying to get another win each and every week.
So that second digit was holding you, was weighing you down? Is that what you're saying? Just single digit? You feel lighter?
It just feels lighter, man. Everything about it just feels like a load off a little bit, man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when you step on that field on Monday night, home of that NFC Championship game after that, you know, the Minnesota miracle put you in that spot, you're going to be thinking about that a little bit? Monday night?
Nah. Actually not, man. Like I said. Okay. Like I said, man. New theme around, man. Looking forward, man. We're just looking forward, and standing attack mode.
Okay, so what are you going to be thinking? As you know, Eagles offense week one against the Lions, they were cooking too. You know, Hurts to A.J. Brown and things like that. What do you think? What are you going to be thinking? Obviously, you're going to have to maybe match point for point, but you got an Eagles defense out there that that's feeling its oats too? What are you going to be thinking about when you step on that field Monday night?
Go make that play, man. That's all I'll be thinking about. Go make that play. I just need play come, go make it. I know everybody else is thinking the same way. No hesitation, go make that play. It's not going to be made, go make it, man. You know, a lot of times in this league, you get caught up in when a play going to come. You know, when is the play not going to come? And you never know when a play is. But I take every play, you know, like it's my last. And I'm going to go make that play with my name called to go help my team win the game. So I'm going to be thinking about come Monday night.
All right, Dalvin Cook. Thanks for the time. TJ Jefferson, you want to ask him a question before he goes on in his day in Minnesota?
Yeah, just real quick, Dalvin. What up, man? You know, Chris on the show here, he's a big Georgia fan. I'm a big fan of your brother, James. Had a little bit of a tough debut with a fumble. I know he's going to bounce back, but is there any, like, big brother advice that you gave him? Because, you know, you're there and you're doing it. Is there anything that you kind of told him to help him keep his head up and, you know, kind of let that go and just move on in a positive manner?
It was a nice spectacular. It wasn't. My brother, one thing about my brother, you know, he doesn't lack any confidence in his play. He knows, like I told him, I watched the play with him a few times, and nothing else he could have did, but the defender made a great play. The ball was locked up and everything. Rook, keep the ball off the ground. I told him, Rook, keep the ball off the ground. The Rook, man, keep that ball off the ground, man. The ball is the most important thing, man. But other than that, man, it was nothing but the awesome. So they got the win. And me just telling him, man, they'll get another play.
Okay.
The opportunity is ahead of the way, and they're going to make the next play.
Let's be more positive right here. If you want to talk SEC football, let's talk about Florida State knocking off LSU. How about that? Let's be more positive.
Now we're talking.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I didn't think that was a negative.
Now that's your Florida. That's your Florida. And by the way, and TJ's a Florida State guy.
That's why Dalvin's my guy.
I know, but you're also a Pitt guy.
Yeah.
You know.
True.
Penn State.
Just those three, though.
That's it's okay.
But Dalvin's been my dude.
It's okay.
Man.
I know that.
I appreciate that.
You must have been celebrating when that extra point got blocked. I mean, that's for damn sure. What a game that was. All right, Dalvin, you take care of yourself. Go on with your day. Appreciate the time. See you Monday night. We'll be listening for you Monday night on Westwood One. And you be well, sir, as always.
Appreciate it, brother.
As always, you got it. That's Dalvin Cook right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That wasn't a negative question. I mean, just like, you know.
No, I just thought it was.
I honestly thought, I'm going to ask Dalvin Cook a question. I'm like, it had to be Florida State. It had to be.
Well, no, it's the.
But you went content. You went content over fandom, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure his brother probably was down a little bit. Big brother's been there before.
That was a good question. Good question.
I'm saying it was a bad question. It was just not the question I thought it would be. Kind of like when I did the NFL 100 all-time team show and Bill Belichick was an analyst and he's like, I'd like to ask the first question of me, Joe Green, when he sits down. I'm like, absolutely. Like, roll tape. You start taping the segment. Me and Joe Green sits down and Belichick was the only time for the entire two-day shoot. He's like, I'd like to ask the first question. Or he said anything about run of show or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, of course, you ask a question. I thought to myself, how to be Chuck Knoll. Had to be something about the steel curtain defense. Had to be. First question out of his mouth is like, man, that soda commercial, that Pepsi commercial, or the Coke commercial.
That was cool, man.
That was unbelievable. Like, how many times did you have to drink a Coke? I'm like, whoa. Belichick went pop culture on me.
It was like the Chris Farley show.
Remember that time when you did that Coke commercial, have a Coke and a smile, and your kid catch?
That had to be cool for you just to see Bill kind of put on
great.
That fan hat,
it was
right?
Amazing.
We see what we get at press conferences, but you got to see the fan in him. And that was great.
Exactly.
That show was amazing, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Won the Emmy.
All right, we'll take a break right here.
That I'm Mona Lisa Vito.
Thank you very much. There you go. All right, we'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show and wrap up this show. Let's talk about tonight's game because it's a big game tonight.
Yeah.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app or westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. And they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Ooh, get in the zone.
Why do you find
Auto
that? Zone.
Just, I that commercial. Funny. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I think you should do that with it.
I mean,
I'll do it next time.
You can if you'd like.
What do you think? Tight defensive battle tonight? Or
definitely
just
not.
Fireworks.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Bro, if we don't see at least six touchdowns tonight, I'm going to be very disappointed.
What does Las Vegas have to say about it?
54 tonight.
Oh, so that's more than six.
That's the highest total so far.
Yeah, that's a high
this year.
Total.
This year.
I don't know.
40, 45.
Don't ask me. Honestly.
Rich is like the unfrozen caveman lawyer.
No, I'm not unfrozen caveman lawyer. I'm not going to. Honestly, I don't traffic in that stuff.
So the line
moves. It's funny. They're like, don't talk gambling, right?
Who said that?
Well, question. I mean, just that's the general sense.
Can but we then, talk gambling we do, without you?
No, you can talk we as much can. Gambling
you
as you
You can
want.
Too, Rich.
Well, no, but I don't traffic in it. I don't traffic in it.
So I will say this. The line did open the Chiefs for 3.5-point favorites. Now up to 4.5.
Although, you know, our 2-minute, our segment, you know, whatever the hell, I'm blanking on it, where we put 60 seconds on the clock.
No, it's basically like, well, they're going to
it's
have
all
more.
Like, you know, that such and such teams average to combine for 54, right. 54 points. And the over-under is 54.5. Like, what do you think?
Right.
Like, it's oddly specific numbers. Our no huddle segment.
Yeah,
I don't know. I like the Chiefs tonight.
It's sneaky like the under tonight. I don't know.
I do no, like the Chiefs to win.
Why
tonight.
Why do you like the under though?
I like the Chiefs to win tonight.
Chargers have good defense. I mean, we thought the Raiders were going to score a lot of points last week, and Khalil Mack and company, Derwin James, they just went out and shut them down.
That's true.
And you know, I know that they're on the road, but as we pointed out, the road teams won the last four in this matchup.
I just think that the Chiefs are on tilt, and I think that the Chargers are going to make the mistake. I don't know. That's what I'll say.
Yeah,
and well, it's early in the season,
gonna
be good.
The Chargers are going to bring it. Hey, look, it's for the first place in the AFC West after 2 weeks, and neither of those teams will be named the Raiders.
The Raiders. Chargers' mistakes usually come at the end of the season, though. So,
or the end of games.
But Herbert's played really well against the Chiefs.
By the way, Herbert. Rich, this guy's arm strength.
It's amazing.
Stupid.
He was firing balls on, like, it's unbelievable.
He's really rolling to his left, falling down, and still throwing darts. Like, he can make every single throw. Man. It's unbelievable.
Could you imagine? Again, I know
if he played street ball.
I know where good one. I know we're getting Herbert and Mahomes twice a year. Could you imagine if we got Herbert and Allen twice a year? If the Dolphins had taken Herbert?
Wow.
Herbert and Allen twice a year.
I was watching an interview with Allen, and somebody asked him, like, how many times have you, like, thrown the ball as hard as you possibly can? And he literally said, there's been, like, two times his whole career.
Well, this isn't what hurt anybody.
Yeah. He was like, I've thrown it really hard, like, twice.
You get the feeling that's going to be one of the great kind of NFL what-ifs. If, like, what if the Dolphins had taken Herbert?
What if the Jets had taken Allen?
Hey, what if?
But you're playing the result there. I don't think Allen was ever going to go in the top five, so you're kind of playing the result.
Well, the Seahawks apparently wanted it to do that at very draft.
Look, Hoskins don't want to hear this stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I shouldn't say that. He's counting us down to break. He's got to focus.
I'm sweating back there.
We'll chat on Friday on radio. Back on Roku in a second.